sunglasses on. I'm at a funeral.
Oh, sunglasses. Yeah.
Are we live? Fuck it. Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Chaffin, along with my good friend,
Artemis Brower.
We're coming to you this week with episode 188. 188. Artie, how you doing, my friend?
We're doing all right, man. We're doing all right. Another week in the books. We're doing okay. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're halfway through the week it feels like this week's been long. I don't know why. It's only Wednesday. But yeah, just ready to get over, ready to be at the weekend, be able to relax a little bit this weekend. So, yeah, Artie, I mean, not much is going on. I mean, March Madness starting up. We've got the men's tournament about to start, women's tournament just wrapping up. We're gonna talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit of ECU football news. Talk of course ECU baseball and softball, and yeah. But before we do that, Artie, you got a number 88.
Number 88, I do have a number 88 for the week. I can promise you this was not the same guy that I chose last 88. Now, this is an NFL Hall of Famer. This is somebody that a lot of old heads probably know. But I'm still on my trend of choosing guys that millennials, Gen Z, probably not going to know this name unless you're just a diehard football fan. But that is one John Mackey. John Mackey, famous Syracuse Orange, number 88, retired by Syracuse, played in the NFL for the Baltimore Colts, and San Diego Chargers, was the very first president of the National Football League Players Association. So that's pretty awesome. Played both pre-merger and post-merger in the AFL and NFL, was a Super Bowl champion and an NFL champion, three-time first-team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, 1960s All-Decade Team, 50th anniversary all-time team, 100th anniversary all-time team, Baltimore Ravens Ring of Honor. So, I mean, this guy has all the accolades in the world. John Mackey, again, first president of the NFLPA. That's my 88 for the week. And obvious Hall of Famer. So.
Love it. Yeah. Artie, I have a feeling the one that I'm going with is somebody that I used last time. But that's okay. I honestly can't remember. If somebody goes back to episode 88 and listens, let me know if this is the same guy. Mine, already also an NFL Hall of Famer, five-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, three-time Super Bowl champ. Any guesses? The playmaker.
You said five-time Pro Bowler and three-time Super Bowl champ?
Yep.
That's got to be Michael Irvin.
Most definitely Michael Irvin.
Yeah, it's gotta be Michael Irvin.
No, Michael Irvin. So, already, I think I've told you this story, and you're probably sick and tired of hearing it. One of my best interactions with a celebrity or an athlete, I think I've ever had. I was back in my day, in the days where I used to travel even more than I do now for work. I was in the airport in Atlanta. And I guess he's on what, Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football? Sunday Night Football, right?
I mean, right now he's with the NFL Network. I don't think he's on either one of those.
Well, when he was on one of those nightly, the day of the week broadcast,
yeah,
he was flying through Atlanta, or he was in Atlanta for whatever reason, and he and I bumped into each other. At first, I didn't realize who I was bumping into. We just bumped into each other. We turned around, gave each other a stink eye, and kept walking. And I looked down. This man was carrying a Dallas Cowboys like bag. And I mean, he had the mustache. I knew exactly who he was as soon as I bumped into him. But I kept on walking. I was like, I got to catch my connection, get on the plane train here in Atlanta. But yeah, Michael Irvin and I once literally bumped shoulders and gave each other the stink eye.
I never asked this question, because you definitely shoulder checked Michael Irvin. So who won the shoulder check? Someone had to have more of a competitive edge on the shoulder check. Like, who got pushed back more than the other?
Artie, there's a reason they call me Big Sexy.
I'm just, hey, look, you're not a small guy, Jay. That's why I asked you. You're not a small man.
My big white ass walking through Atlanta Airport with cowboy boots and Michael Irvin, man. that was me and Michael Irvin did not hit it off well. I was about to say, like, yo, watch where you're going. And then when I
to an NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver.
And then when I realized who I was talking to, I decided, you know what? I'm just gonna cut my losses and keep going. But yeah, Michael Irvin, somewhat friend of the podcast. We're acquaintances at this point.
No, definitely not.
So yeah, Artie, I mean that's my number 88. It will be now and forever my number 88.
That's a good one, though.
Episode 288, I'll tell the same story. 388, 488. Y'all are going to get tired of hearing this story, but it's good. I have to – it's honestly my best interaction with a celebrity. Yep. I mean – all right, Artie, some housekeeping things. Make sure you check out Variety Sports Network, the Boneyard Podcast, proud to be members of the Variety Sports Network. Check them out. Five Hole Podcast. NHL trade deadline was last week. Getting close to the playoffs already. I'm going to an NHL game tomorrow night. That's why we're recording on a Wednesday. I'm going to the Hurricanes Panthers game tomorrow night. Man, I haven't been to a Hurricanes game since the outdoor game last year.
Who you going with?
Just Pops, man. Me and Pops. Okay. Like old times. We're going to hit up Backyard Bistro, maybe tailgate a little bit and go into the game. So do you see these beer sticks?
No.
Oh,
I saw the one Courtney posted, right? In the chat.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's what that is.
Yeah. It's like a beer bat. Like if you go to a minor league game and you get a bat full of beer, but it's a hockey stick.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
So, your boy's going to be crushing a couple of those in the 300 level. So yeah, Artie, moving along, ECU football, some news. ECU hires a new special teams coordinator in Andre Powell, has over 35 years of coaching experience. In 2016, named Football Scoops special teams coordinator of the year. He's played or coached. Artie, this is a number that stood out to me. Played or coached in 20 bowl games.
Yeah, that's absurd.
In 2023, Powell's special teams group was first in blocked punt with 3, first in blocked punts allowed with 9, first in blocked kicks with 9, and then 30th in kick return defense with an average yard per gain of 17.56. What have we been saying the last 2 years? If ECU had – last year we said offense, but if they had any special teams and any, like, offense, they'd be a much better football club. Last year, special teams was a little bit better, blocked some kicks.
But not much better.
But not much better.
Yeah.
You got to make field goals. So – maybe we can get this figured out. I like the direction. Your thoughts on the hire of Andre Powell?
I absolutely love the hire. It looks like a great hire on paper. He's a very, very proven guy. And this is a unit that's got to get changed and quick, fixed quickly, right? Like we've got to get special teams fixed with the quickness. And it's one of those units where you never really want to hear about special teams, right? Special teams supposed to be that unit that you never really hear about because they're always just doing their job. Like special teams is supposed to be a very boring unit. We're not supposed to be talking about special teams on this podcast all the time because they're just going out there and doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? The only time we should be talking about special teams is when, you know, there's a field goal that needs to be made or some sort of, you know, kick, whatever, what have you, or some sort of block punt or block whatever that changed the game. But outside of that, special teams should be just a boring, we don't really talk about special teams because they go out there and they just do their job. We don't have to complain about them. We don't have to give them praise, but it is a direly important unit to win football games. And obviously we've seen that over the course of the last couple of years. So great hire.
Yeah. I think that Doust was he did his job, but he didn't move the needle for me. This is a needle mover, right?
Yeah.
Coach Houston, I'll give him, granted, Artie, I want to put it out there. On paper, his hires this offseason have been fantastic.
They've been great. They've been great. On paper, right. But we haven't actually seen.
You gotta go out and prove it.
The fruits of the labor, but
I'm excited about where this. It's not often you get excited about special teams, but with those numbers that I was just reading off, Artie, it's a little easy to get excited about special teams. So, I don't know. Any hot takes for special teams? You want to make a prediction for special teams?
What kind of predictions are we making?
How many? I mean, gambling's now legal in North Carolina, Artie. Over under 2 blocked punts next year.
I'm going over.
His team led the nation last year with 3.
Yeah, and I think we get 3. I think we're right at 3 again, possibly 4, but I think we get 3 blocked punts again. I do.
I don't know the stat, but I know that it's been a very long time. Or did we return a punt for a touchdown this year? Am I forgetting that? No, we didn't. I see Josh shaking his head.
Yeah,
I know it's been a long time. Like,
yeah,
going on better part of a decade and a half. Do we return a punt for a touchdown this year?
No.
I think we do.
I don't think we do. I think we're
more inclined to
return a kickoff return for touchdown than a punt.
I don't know. I'm excited about special teams. I
just want to make our kicks.
I'm ready for football season.
I just want us to make our kicks.
It's time for football season. Yeah. God, I can't wait.
Still 6 months away, baby.
Six months away, but as always, we get so excited so early on, and then our dreams come crashing down. Anything else on the hire? Anything else you want to talk about on football?
No, look, you know, again, good hire. Just excited for him to come in and be able to kind of change the narrative around ECU special teams. Because as a head coach, you just don't want to be – you don't want to stay up at night thinking about special teams. That's not what should be keeping you up at night as a head coach. That's one unit that should be solid, should be stable, so that you can kind of focus on some other things. So excited about it.
Yeah, so am I. I can't wait. I say it every year. I get so excited for ECU football, and then all of a sudden it just lets me down. Artie, tomorrow we will be officially 169 days away from ECU football. All right, moving on, Artie. East Carolina basketball, 5-game losing streak heading into the conference tournament. Not the greatest. Got to play Tulsa in the first round.
Yeah.
Look, this first game, it's gonna be an exciting one. Shout out to the Golden Hurricanes. I went on their show last night and talked to ECU basketball. Tulsa, if anything, this game should be close. They played each other close earlier in the season when ECU came away with the victory. ECU plays in tight games a lot of the time. I don't know who I have right now, but I'm leaning towards it's going to come down to the wire.
I mean, yeah, 2 evenly matched ball clubs. Kind of sitting towards the bottom of the American Athletic Conference, and both of them are going to be hungry to kind of end their season on a positive note. Let's call a spade a spade. Both of these teams, doesn't matter who wins, should lose to South Florida. They've absolutely
Tulsa just beat South Florida last week.
Yeah, but come on now, it's put up or shut up time. South Florida's been a class of the conference. Now, look, we could pull a, you know, EC women's basketball and go on a run. I don't think this team is as good as our EC women's basketball team, so I don't see that in them. But ending the season on a positive note, being able to beat Tulsa, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a nail-biter. I think it's going to come down to the last couple of minutes. But just trying to end on a positive note, because that five-game losing streak.
Yeah. And this was after the Pirates had their first ever three-game winning streak in the American Conference.
Right.
You go from the highest of highs already to the lowest of lows, and that's just being an ECU Pirate. That's what it is. I mean, you get it seems like every year in every sport, that's what we do. We get the highest of highs, we get excited, and then our dreams come crashing down. Am I wrong? Happens in football. Happens every year in baseball, right at the Super Regionals. Eventually, something's got to click. But I don't think this is the year for ECU to go on a magical run. I just don't.
Well, I mean, getting super excited for basketball should never be something a Pirate fan does. Right? That's not so.
That's how you know you're a sicko. When you're super excited for ECU basketball, that's how you know you're a sicko.
And it's just like, oh yeah, we're going to win the conference. We're going to get to the tournament. Nah, stop all that. But I'm with you on the baseball. I'm with you on the football. I'm with you on everything else. But you know, this is kind of the state of ECU basketball. But I think it's going to get better. I do still believe in Schwartz. I do still think it's going to get better. The end of this season is not how you want things to go, though, right? For a coach that is still trying to prove himself and build a program, this speaks to guys not buying it. This late in the season to go on that kind of a losing streak, that speaks to guys kind of like just kind of taking it easy. So that's what
I don't know. I don't know how anybody on this team can be taking it easy. I don't know how anybody on this team can. I mean, we've seen the roster turnover with ECU basketball over the last 4 or 5 years. And you've got to know when you're playing for ECU right now, nobody's job is safe, right? You can be cut at any time. There's nobody that outside of maybe RJ Felton, there's nobody on this team that isn't uncuttable. And I think that's eye-opening to me. We see that. It's not that I don't think that the team isn't bought in or isn't trying. I just don't think that it ever really came together as a group.
As a cohesive unit.
Right. I don't – sometimes it seems like they're lights out, they're world beaters, and then all of a sudden it comes crashing down. I haven't seen them play like a complete full game of basketball together in a dominant fashion. And that's what teams that go far and do well in college hoops is they play together as a cohesive unit, and we haven't seen that. They either come out super hot, start the game, go into the locker room up, 9-10 points, come out, lay a goose egg in the first 5-10 minutes of the second half, all of a sudden you're down 6 points. And I think that's part of it, is they haven't figured out how to play a full game together. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes they come out and they look like absolute garbage, and then the second half they come out and make it a close game. So there's got to be some kind of disconnect there from a player's mentality. So – Artie, does ECU make it past the first round?
I'm going to say yes. I think they beat Tulsa. I think they get past the first round. That's it. But yes.
Yeah. I think so too. I wouldn't give an answer last night on the Golden Hurricanes. Shout out to those guys. Go check them out. But
yes.
Yeah. now that I've had another day to think about it, I'm going to go Pirates here. Just because, you know, I'm a negative Nancy, as somebody once called me, Artie.
You are never going to let that down. You go bring that up every damn podcast.
Every time that I get a chance to be a homer, I'm going to bring it up that somebody said that I was too negative, because I'm the biggest homer for East Carolina that you will ever find.
That you are, to a fault.
Artie, gambling's legal now. I almost put a $10 bet on EC to win the national championship next year. Oh, you should have seen me looking at the numbers when I put EC to win the national championship in football, baseball, and win the American in basketball. My eyes were bulging out of my head when I was looking at a $10 bet on that parlay. It was like, it was a lot. It was a lot of money. Yeah, life-changing money.
Because ECU winning the national championship in football. I mean.
Just imagine the national championship in football and baseball and making the tournament in basketball. Yeah. That would be – my heart might explode. I might have – that is my dream. And if that ever happens, I know I will be dead, because that only happens in heaven. So, all right, Artie, women's basketball.
Yes.
Thought Kim McNeil was going to do it again. Thought she was going to pull another rabbit out of her hat. ECU women's, the ECU women wrapped up the American tournament as runner up. Couldn't quite get it done this year. Once again, teams dealt with injuries all year.
Yeah.
The fact that you go, I believe we were what, the 9 seed, 8 seed. The fact that you go from there, you beat Memphis, you beat the number one team in the conference in Tulsa.
Yep.
Beat Temple, a team that just a week and a half ago took you to the woodshed in your home building. Beat them. It's a good run. UTSA.
Right. Yeah. Came back from 11 down to beat UTSA the other day.
It was a good run. Pirates just ran out of gas. But hey, I can't say anything more about these women. How proud I am of them. 2 years in a row. Nobody's believed in them other than the people in Greenville and other Pirate fans across the world. Kim McNeil. Outside of Cliff Godwin, does she have the safest seat in Greenville?
By far. Not even close. It's Coach Godwin, and then it's Coach McNeil, and everybody else is just batting third after after those two. She's safe. Absolutely. I mean, and give her what she needs. Do not get rid of this woman. She's building something special.
Lifetime contract.
She's really building something special here in Greenville. The fact that it's like the opposite of what you see with the men at times, right? Like, you can think that this women's team is down and out. They have nothing left in the gas tank. It's just not our year. And they just pull a rabbit out the hat, and they go on some run, and they play collectively as a cohesive unit, and they're fully bought in, and they fully understand Coach Kim McNeil's message and what she's trying to do. And to see that, it's beautiful. Now, we came up short, and it was a bad loss to Rice. We lost by 20, right? And you have, I think we had a 3-point quarter against Rice.
No, like the first quarter we were down, I believe, 14-3.
No, it was 18-3.
18-3.
18-3 after the first quarter. You can't win basketball games doing that. You just you can't score 3 points in a quarter in basketball and expect to win. So it just wasn't our night from a shooting perspective. I'm not going to chalk that up to Rice's great defense. We just weren't hitting shots. But to even put ourselves in that position, man, shout out to them. Almost went back-to-back, baby. Almost.
I mean, anytime that you out-rebound the team by 14 and you still lose, that tells me all I need to know. You just couldn't hit shots.
Yeah.
Rice 10 for 18 from deep. The Pirates 1 for 8. That's a 27-point swing right there.
The rest of the game was pretty even after that first quarter, to be completely honest with you. So
this stat, ECU shot 8.3% from the field in the first half.
You can't win basketball games that way. You just can't. Jared, I can shoot better than that. I can confidently say that I can shoot better than that. So you can't win basketball games that way. It just wasn't our night. It just they're obviously much better. I mean, this is a legit women's basketball team. It just wasn't their night. Wasn't their first.
And if I remember correctly, coming into the season, I think Rice and ECU were the 1 and 2 picks coming into the season in the coaches' poll.
Yeah.
Josh, you can fact check me on that, but I if I'm remembering correctly, those were the top two. And the season didn't go their way, but hey, when it came time to shine, those two teams went through the gauntlet, made it to the championship game, and all in all, you just couldn't get it finished. Now, Artie, the Pirates are sitting at Pirates are sitting in good position, really, to maybe get an invitation. Do you think they get an invitation to the WNIT?
I think they do. Yeah, I definitely think they get an invitation to WNIT. They're sitting at what, 5 games over 500 right now. They played in their conference championship game. You know, that close to winning it and representing the conference in the NCAA again. Yeah, I think they're going to get an invite. I do. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't. I wouldn't be shocked to see them left off. But I think they've played well enough down the stretch to deserve an invite.
Yeah, I mean, Pirates finished 19-14 on the season. I'd love to see them, but just knowing how it goes, I don't think they'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you probably want to get to 20-21 wins to kind of get into that that pool. But I don't know. I think these ladies deserve it.
I agree. Anything else before we close the chapter or close the book on the 2023-2024 chapter of ECU women's basketball?
No. Still proud. Obviously, you know, we expected more, but, you know, at the end of the day, still very, very proud of this unit.
So. Yeah. I can't be disappointed in this team.
No.
Mm-mm. Knowing what they've gone through this year, I can't be disappointed. Shout out Kim McNeil. We got to get her on the podcast.
Yes.
Maybe episode 200, which is coming up. Maybe that'll be one of our white whales we have. She said she'd come on.
Yeah, I know she would.
Get her and Amaya Joyner, Danae McNeil. Hey, it's
a little round table.
Why not? All right, Artie. Moving on, ECU softball.
Ah. Rough go at it.
I don't know. Once again, once you start getting excited about something, you start building momentum. Rinse, repeat. Pete, repeat. Yeah. Pirates go down to North Texas and end up getting swept. Series, it seemed like it could have been closer, but I mean, the Pirates just couldn't get anything on the board. Got shut out first two games, just couldn't get anything going. So you go from 21-2 going into the weekend. Now you're 21-5. Conference play 0-5. Now, Artie, the sky is not falling yet. There's plenty of opportunity. To go continue your this magical season. I'm going to say playing Wichita State at home this weekend. Your thoughts? I mean, Wichita State coming in 10-10, 1-2 in conference play. Your thoughts? What's going to happen for the Lady Pirates this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, look, you want to get back on track, obviously, especially against a team that you know you are better than and that you should probably sweep. You know, playing Wichita State. I don't want to say fool's gold, but when you look at the early schedule, the first 20 games for these Lady Pirates, the competition wasn't the greatest. if you really kind of take a deep dive into who they played. Now they're starting to play some real competition. Like you said, starting conference play, not off to the greatest start. But your record is still your record. You're still winning these games. You're still 21-5. You still have, you know, everything out in front of you. But you got to get back on track with Wichita State. It's got to happen, and it's got to be a sweep. This is not a team that you got to mess around with. You got to assert your dominance. You've got to get back on the right track. But these Lady Pirates, I think, can still – obviously, they can still do what they want to do this season. But it's got to get started right away.
Yeah. I mean, let's go on a run. Just like the ladies on the hard court did. Hey, let's go on a run. I believe in this. This team is a damn good softball team.
Yeah.
Look, don't let one bad weekend define you. Hey, 2 years ago, East Carolina University baseball got swept by Bryant to start the season. They went on to host a super regional that year, and honestly, very well almost kicked down the door to Omaha. Come on. I'm here for it. I am 100% bought in on ECU softball. And if you aren't,
of course.
And if you aren't already, I just got one thing for you. You can walk the damn plank.
I thought you were gonna say something else.
What do you think I was gonna say?
I just got two words for you. I thought he was about to hit him with the D-Generation X. I thought he was about to hit him with it.
Maybe we should just start recording this podcast like we're cutting WWE promos. But all right. Anything else? I mean, I think the girls will get it right. Get it back on the right track. Got Wichita State this weekend. No midweek game next week. I have faith in them.
Yeah, they'll get back right. I'm very curious to see when they start playing like really good teams. So that's when, and if they can beat these good teams, that's when that belief is like, oh, okay, this might be something different, right? They really are maybe a team of destiny. But they're going to be just fine.
For sure, and. Moving across the parking lot to LeClaire Stadium, Clark LeClaire Stadium. Excuse me. Moving across the parking lot already to the baseball team, number 11 in the country. Artie finally got a win on the road. Got a couple of them. You sweep Liberty Bibberty, and then you go on the road again last night, and beat UNCW in extras. Yeah, the bullpen, some of the fielding wasn't the greatest last night, but all in all, a win's a win. They don't ask how, they ask how many. Artie, Pirates are 11-4, number 11 in the country. RPI is up to 12th in the country. So you're sitting pretty good. Lots of carnage going on in the top 25 this weekend in baseball.
Yeah, you got teams losing.
I mean, Duke goes in, beats Wake on the road, then turns around and loses to Ryder, a team that ECU swept in the opening weekend of the season. What's going on?
You know, and honestly, I don't even, you know, I kind of want us as a club is to be in between like 7 and 12, right? I don't want all the pressure on ECU. I don't want us in the top five this early in the season. I don't want that. I don't want that pressure. I just want us to keep winning these games, and we're somewhere in between 7 and 12, and we're maintaining. We're still highly ranked, the top 10 baseball club or whatever, but there's none of that added pressure of being like number 3, number 4, number 5 in the country. Oh, my God, they lost. What's going on? I don't want none of that right now. I just want us to stay the course, keep doing what we're doing, creeping that top 10, but not really push up towards that top 5. I don't want none of that pressure on this ball club right now. We know how great we are. We just need to – we're trying to get the Omaha. It's not about being ranked number 3 in March. Like, we're trying to get the Omaha.
Yeah. I agree with you. I do think that here in the next couple of weeks, I would like to see us start to make – we've been at 11 all year long. We're getting into a month into the season, and we have not moved up. We haven't moved down. Which is okay.
I'm okay with that.
Right now you're looking at hosting a regional, and you're also looking at having a not too terrible matchup on in the Super. And who knows? I mean, a team, you could still host a Super where you're sitting at now. Got to move up a couple of spots. I think there's going to be more carnage. ECU has a chance to beat NC State later on in the year, has a chance to beat Duke later on in the year. Right now, I think Duke, yeah, they just lost a Rider. But I think Duke, I don't just think, they just beat Wake. I have Duke as the best team in North Carolina right now. They are scary good. Carolina.
In a state full of good programs.
North Carolina has, the number two RPI in the country. They're 15-2 on the year already. Those two losses, the boys in purple, East Carolina University. So this team can go deep and play with anybody. Now it's just figuring out the midweek, figuring out the bullpen. And if you can do that, you're golden pony boy. So, I'm excited about where we're going. I would like to see us start moving up a couple of spots here and there. I think you do business this weekend at number 12 in RPI. You move up 20 spots in the last like 4 days, just with all the carnage going on. You start to move up more in the RPI, you really solidify that. I think you're going to see ECU make a move this week. Take care of business against Columbia, which Columbia got shellacked last weekend. I believe losing by double digits in two of their three games. ECU has a great opportunity. Just keep your nose down and do your job. Yep. Just do your job.
Now what are your thoughts on the bullpen after this past weekend?
Bullpen was better this past weekend, but it's still, I think you're deep there. You got a lot of arms, but I do think that there's somebody's got to figure it out and step up. Big Joe. I mean, I think him, Danny Bill, Wyatt Lunsford Shankman. That's a mouthful. Just like JJC. Man, what's up with all these long names? But
it is what it is.
I think those three guys are really starting to kind of come into form. Danny Bill had a good night the other night. So yeah, I feel okay, but there's still some young guys that need to figure it out, and they're working through things. Yep. Groller, who we saw last night, he's figuring it out. But it seems like for whatever reason, the Pirates can play very well in the weekend, hit the ball, and then all of a sudden in the midweek game, the lights aren't as bright or whatever, and they kind of go into their shell. And I think like last night, or really in every midweek game, ECU's had a very good chance to win, right? Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't close it out. And I think if you have a stronger bullpen, you close out probably at least two of those games. You probably still have the loss to Campbell, and you probably still have the loss to Carolina. But I think you have two more wins, and you're sitting at 13-2 rather than 11-4.
Now, I mean, looking at the schedule, I want to ask you this real quick, because you got Columbia, which you know, it looks good. You got Elon squeezed in between the UTSA series. How do you think we fare in the next seven games before we face Wilmington again?
I'm going to put it out there. I think ECU goes 6-1 in their next seven games. That's right. Not 7-0.
That's, yeah. I'm thinking 6-1.
Anything less than that, and I look at midweek games kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. Just because you're not getting best on best. Mm-hmm. Now some of these teams will throw one of their weekend starters at ECU just trying to get some clout, but
trying to get a dub against a good program. I get it.
Right. Hey, you do you. But I don't think you lose to Elon. I think you sweep Columbia. I think if you're going to drop one, you're going to drop one to San Antonio.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
I would agree. I'm thinking 6-1 heading back into that matchup with UNCW, which is a favorable matchup with Wilmington, I would say.
So. And you got to love, I mean, all these midweek games have been on the road. You haven't played a midweek at home. I mean, you had the ones against VCU rained out last weekend. So, or last week, I should say. So you've been like this Pirate team is battle tested already. They played some very good teams. I mean, you look at Campbell, top 25. You look at Carolina, top 25. You got NC State looming. You've got UNCW, who's not too shabby. You got Duke in waiting in the shadows. You've got teams that you're going to play this year that are going to battle test you. And they've been on the road. Yep. This team has traveled more than most top 25 teams have traveled at this point in the season. I mean, you just came off a non-conference weekend at Liberty. I think that this team is going to figure it out, and down the stretch, they're going to have more home games, and their RPI is not going to change too much later on. So, I like the way that this schedule has set up for the Pirates, and I think that they can go on a deep run.
I agree. I think the schedule sets up for them definitely to go on a tremendous run, kind of like what they did 2 years ago when they went on that. I don't know about 20 games in a row, but I could definitely see something similar, something close to it. So,
yeah, and
definitely favorable.
I do want to give a shout out right now. If you're listening and you have bought a subscription to Flow Sports, cancel it right. You can cancel it before the game next week, but do not forget to cancel your shitty subscription to Flow Sports on after the game on Tuesday, March 19th against Elon. Do not give them another penny.
No, I'm lost. I'm out the loop. What happened?
Flow Sports is a subpar ESPN Plus wannabe. I would rather sit there and watch your event has ended screen with Peyton Manning and that crazy.
That thing just runs on a loop.
Yeah, I would rather watch that than give Flow Sports another dime.
Wow.
I don't know. The quality's not great, and then they charge you just the same amount, if not more, than ESPN Plus. And just so you can watch Campbell, UNCW, and Elon. Come on. Flow Sports, you can walk the damn plank. That's my walk the plank this week.
Okay. I didn't even know Flow was a thing.
Flow from Progressive. Artie, you got to walk the plank.
You know, as we were talking, I was literally trying to look for one, and I can't find one. I'm going to be honest with you. Not too much is going on in sports, though, man. You got free agency. I guess my one walk the plank would be the Bears not being able to find Justin Fields a suitor, and that's looking pretty bleak. But
Bears.
Yeah, it's looking like people want Fields to be a backup, and that's just not a good look. Not a good look. So,
hey, how does it make you feel that my team signed a guy who's coming off a torn Achilles over trading for your guy?
No, Kirk's a better option than Justin Fields.
I like it.
Kirk's a better. Now, look, I know he's coming off an Achilles. He's older. Justin Fields is absolutely a far better athlete. But if we're talking about just a pure passer, quarterback, play, like Kirk Cousins has proven he can get you to the playoffs several times. Can he get you to Mount Rushmore? Can he get you to the promised land? No. But he can win the NFC South easily.
Give me him over Desmond Ridder any day of the week.
Kirk Cousins can dog walk to the South. Yeah.
Thoughts on the bull? Okay, I see the question. Thoughts on the bullpen after this past weekend? Yeah. Shout out ECU Pirate Nation. But Artie, that's all I got. We've been doing this thing for 45 minutes now. Anything else? Anything you want to talk about?
Ooh, I mean, there's plenty, but we're gonna get into it. We got the draft coming up. We're gonna have our whole draft show. I know March Madness. They do Selection Sunday this weekend, so I know we'll get into that. So we got a lot coming up, but it just hasn't happened yet.
We're gonna have to do our bracket next week, and we'll put out a bracket challenge. Stay tuned for that. Maybe we'll donate a Sup Dogs gift card to that. Ball of Crush Vodka. Get your Crush Vodka.
Yeah. I got to get me a bottle. I should have told Brandon to bring me a bottle back now. I wasn't even thinking.
Talk to your ABC stores. Ask them for Crush Vodka. The Team Boneyard Crush Vodka. I probably shouldn't be saying that, but support. Hey, we're all about supporting.
We're all one pirate.
I don't give a shit.
We're all one pirate.
Support
nation.
The pirates. All right. Artie, shout out Variety Sports Network. Make sure you follow us on social media at Boneyard Podcast. That's at Boneyard Podcast on TikTok, or at the Boneyard Podcast on TikTok, at Boneyard Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, and Facebook, also on YouTube. While we're talking about YouTube, subscribe. If you're watching, if you're one of the honestly many people watching right now, go subscribe to our YouTube. Get us to 100. We're almost there. I think we're at like 75, 80 right now. So go subscribe. Got some fun content that we're planning for over the summer. Yes. So stay tuned. Also, leave us a review. 5 stars. 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast. Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever. Do that. You're a friend of the podcast for life. Anything less? Artie, what can they do?
They can walk the damn plank.
Damn right. Artie, let's get out of here. You say the thing, and then, yeah.
Hey, look, Pirate Nation, you know what it is. You know what time it is. As always, we love you. We appreciate you for tuning in. Wash your hands. Wash your butts. Deuce.
Peace.